Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. I think this is going to be the last show for this year, for 2025. We hope that you had a good Christmas and that all went well there with families and everything. We're going to start off with a lot of scatterbrain things. I know we're going to do some of the history of the year or some highlights of the year. But Alan, I think we're going to start with you. You have a do I need to introduce ourselves?
Yes.
Okay, I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Okay, well, very good. And Alan, you want to take us away with the...
Yeah, just something that came up recently that President Trump has done. President Trump has done so many great things in the last, 11 months? I guess it's not a year yet. And everything he does seems to slant towards emphasizing the free enterprise system, getting people to recognize that socialism has never succeeded anywhere, and that people need to take responsibility for themselves. And what I'm referring to is what is called the Trump children's accounts. And what it is, it's a system that's going to start, they're not available yet, but it's going to start July 4th, the 250th anniversary of the founding of the country. And what it's going to do is it's a program in which a certain amount of money, and I think it's like a two-year time frame, children born between, I think it's January 2026 and 2028, that they will be given $1,000 to start an account, a savings account. Basically, it's a savings account, but it's more than that. It's really an investment account. And parents can add to it, and other family members can add to it. But what the account is going to do is going to allow these children to have accounts that grow through, like, for example, the stock market's going to be invested in the stock market. It's going to be an opportunity when they turn 18, then the money can be taken out and used for things such as education. Also can be used to start a business. Also can be used to buy a home. So there's a wider variety of things that can be used for, rather than the 529 program that's in existence now. It can only, my understanding, only can be used for education. And what I like about it is the fact that it not only supports free enterprise, it also encourages people to have more children. I'm talking about the natural born citizens, which is what we need.
Alan, is this going to be handled like a trust account where the government is really in control of the individual investments as well as the government investment? And will it be locked that nobody can access it?
It will be indexed funds, and the kid can't get to it until he's 18.
Correct. But who, like if I wanted to add money to it,
An interesting question.
Does it go to the government to go into a trust account, or is it in an individual's name? I was just thinking about...
It's in an individual's name. It's in the person's name. You set the account up for a specific individual, just like 529 now is set up for a particular individual. And so the money goes in there, and for the purposes that it can be useful.
Correct, but I'm still thinking about tying this to Social Security and how it has been used and abused, and I just kind of have a little bit of a...
I don't think...
Where the government borrows it and leaves an IOU for you.
Is it a transfer of wealth again? Or is it going to be something that's going to, quote, replace Social Security? I mean, there's a lot of different things that are on
there. The other part of this, too, what happens, and this is a horrible thought, but it does happen, what happens if the kid dies at 15?
Well, what happens if the stock market crashes and all that money that people had invested is there?
They don't have to take it out. It's like any other downturn in the market. You don't have to take it out when it's down.
So let me look at the other side of the coin. And it sounds silly, but here's an investment fund that's starting off $1,000. And we've got so many people that are currently on welfare. And generally, they look at your assets. What assets do you have before we'll give you welfare? So if you've got five kids and therefore you have $5,000, I mean, what turmoil will this create?
You can't get to it, though.
Yeah, I suppose if you needed welfare because of a job loss, you know, welfare should be used just temporarily. The problem we have, we set these programs up to help people who are temporarily in trouble, and what happens? They're on it the rest of their lives.
And it's generational.
Well, that's part of the problems. But I don't know the answers to all the questions that you've asked, Kim. The program is being developed. It's not going to be available till, like I said, July 4th. But what I like about it, it's a free enterprise system that encourages children to think about saving and think about their own responsibility for their own financial welfare.
Yeah.
That's what we need more of. We got too many people now that just look to the government and look for somebody else to support them.
I think a lot of good questions, but I think it's going to be similar to any other account under somebody's name or under a beneficiary. And there's very little downside that I can see. There's a lot of upside for it, and I think it's awesome that people are doing it. This is one thing under Trump's leadership, and then Dell was doing, it's actually a separate account,
right. A
separate thing, but similar in nature to get investments in these young people's names.
$6.5 billion, Dell, the founder or the owners of Dell
Computers.
And Trump has indicated that he's going to try to recruit other independent people who would donate also, which would be great.
Yes.
This also puts a lot of money into the stock market. And if people are smart, they will realize that they now have a vested interest in the financial welfare of the country and might vote accordingly. Mm-hmm. Because we have a lot of people who don't understand money and just want gimme, gimme, gimme. And we don't need the deficits that we have.
Well, my oldest granddaughter, who is 14, when I was asking her mother what I should get her, my granddaughter, for Christmas, so she went over a few things, and she said that she asked for an account, money for an account, and I didn't hear all the details. So I'm thinking, well, this is great. Got a 14-year-old granddaughter. So what I did was, for each of my seven grandkids, I donated $250 for them to set up an individual account so that they can get started on this process. When the accounts, the Trump accounts come available for a job, they can then transfer that money in. So but the point is, they've already expressed that it's, as a teenager, hey, I'm interested in saving. That's just what we have to reinforce.
Yep.
You know, we should be responsible for our own financial welfare.
And you know, Alan, to your point, and hopefully many kids would not take that. It's looking at that money. Take that. Oh well, I can get the newest iPhone because the newest iPhone is just a waste.
Yeah.
And this money has the ability to grow.
Yeah, and that's what I say. You know, when I give them this money for their accounts, that the idea is, sure, they could take and go out and buy something, like you say, but I want it to be used for what, and you know, for savings, for fiscal responsibility. Let's put it that way.
Unfortunately, savings accounts don't pay what they used to.
I don't know, Alan. I'd say, Grandpa, Should have bought me Bitcoin.
Have you looked at Bitcoin lately?
Yeah, but you can buy a portion of Bitcoin.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it's caught, how far it's gone down.
Yeah.
You're talking about buying a roller coaster.
Yeah, and I think that's the future.
The other roller coaster is gold, yes.
Yeah. Well,
they might have those options in there. I don't know. Yeah. Trump supports Bitcoin.
I know. I'm teasing you, Grandpa.
Yeah, okay, where do we want to go next?
Let's talk about some of the things that did happen this year.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we started the year with a terrorist attack in New Orleans. Hopefully, because of Trump's immigration policies and a lot of other things, we will have a nicer start to next year. We started the year with the fires in California, the Palisades fires. There are two or three houses that have been built. That's it.
That actually got permits and actually got to be built.
There's one person that's in their house. I don't know. I heard that there were two.
Probably
more.
A relative of the governor.
I don't think so, but you've got a good point.
And the holdups are supposed to be in permitting,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
So who is holding the bag on that? Is that...
I don't know. That's a good question.
Probably local.
Yeah, that would be the
county, local county.
That is my point because, you know, the Olympics is supposed to be coming.
That's right.
So I just kind of wonder if some of this land wasn't wanted for...
other things.
Yes.
And they've already discussed that. The other part of it is the way California tax laws work. Because if somebody is living in a house... that say they grew up in, and when their parents died, they inherited the house, and the house was worth maybe, a couple of hundred thousand. If they rebuild, that house is now going to be worth probably $1 million, and rather than pay the tax on the couple of hundred thousand, because in California your real estate taxes don't go up, you continue to pay tax on the initial value of the house. All of a sudden, they're getting a tax bill on $1 million rather than, say, $300,000. That would give you second thoughts about building.
And also, what the building codes that have changed so much.
Yes.
How much do you have to comply with the new building codes?
And, you know, these are some of the issues about these regulations. You know, we have to relate that to the housing crisis problem. I mean, part of the housing crisis problem, I think, has been the influx of all these illegals that are coming in with the demand that's driving up the price, because you have more demand, the more the price of things are up. But it's a lot of the regulations. And the regulations on construction and some of the other things that are required. And it's interesting that I read the other day that Trump's administration, in terms of, I'm talking about the regulations put out by government agencies, they've canceled 629, and they've only instituted 7 new ones.
That's amazing. 10 to 1.
I mean, yeah.
That's a good start.
It's 100 to 1.
That's a good start.
Yeah. Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters, and welcome back. And Mary, you want to go with some recent economic news?
Yes. The U.S. economy grew 4.3% in the third quarter. Now, these numbers were delayed because of the government shutdown, but the economists were not expecting that kind of a rise. And consumer spending expanded by 3.5%. It had risen 2.5% in the second quarter. And I've been hearing a lot of negative talk from various people about the tariffs and about Trump's economic moves. Well, it looks here like it's working. Inflation, now they're claiming that inflation is 2.8, and maybe it is. But most of us have noticed that the cost of gasoline at the pump is down a dollar from what it was a year ago. And if you're, let's say you put maybe 15 gallons of gas in your car a week, then that's a $60 a month increase in your spendable income that you didn't do anything for. That just showed up. And I think grocery prices are still high, but the cost of eggs is down. And a lot of the other prices have stayed steady.
And we won't necessarily see those prices roll back.
No, unfortunately, after they go up, they very rarely go down.
Well, you'd need disinflation for that. I mean, they continue to go up just at a slower rate, you know. So there was the projection for inflation in this last report that came out earlier this week, I think it was 3.1, mm-hmm. and the actual inflation rate was 2.7. Mm-hmm. So unless that's a negative number, prices aren't going down. It's just going, and their target is a 2%.
Yes.
That keeps getting touted. So that does indicate that these tariffs and the concern about tariffs is not to worry.
It's political. It's not practical. And we also did have a budget surplus in September, which is rather unusual for the federal government. Usually they spend a whole lot more than they take in.
Now, how much of that comes from tariffs?
Probably a lot.
Like $300 billion.
A lot of it, yeah.
And the thing to realize, too, there's pushback on giving the taxpayers a break. But the thing we have to realize is that Washington loves to spend money. And unfortunately, if you give them more money, they will spend it. And if we can get them to put some of it against the debt, we're doing well. But they are going to spend because they're Washington.
Okay. In looking forward, there's been a lot on the news in the last couple of days about aspects of the Big Beautiful Bill coming into play with tax returns. And it won't affect everybody but the people that won't have tax on their tips or overtime or some Social Security. It's not all for everybody. So I think it was a little bit not quite honest when they said everybody is going to not pay taxes on Social Security, but there will be some economic advantages coming up with tax returns.
Also, with the Social Security thing and the other benefits, they're taxing people, they're giving a tax break to people who pay taxes. And because the Big Beautiful Bill extended the tax cuts, if that hadn't passed, we would have gotten a serious tax increase.
If you look at all of these economic things, they are doing exactly what Trump predicted that they would do. They're helping the economy. The economy is better off, so much better off now, and it's got so much potential for growth. For example, one of the things you're talking about, money that goes to pay off the debt, Trump came up with this idea a while back about these gold cards, mm-hmm. where if somebody came in and they wanted to come to this country and they had a certain amount of wealth, mm-hmm. they could get these. He has raised, just with that idea, which some people look at it, that's a crazy idea, but it wasn't a crazy idea. He's raised, at this point, $1.5
billion.
$1.5 billion just from that program, and that money is going to the national debt. It's going to reduce the national debt. So all of these things are working, and yet we have the fake news that's coming out and always reporting, just like you said, Mary, they're always reporting these things in the most negative way they can. They talk about affordability. The economy is doing much better, and it's going to get better if we're allowed to continue.
The other thing is the H-1B visas?
Yeah.
Adding the $1,000 per year.
$100,000.
Is it $100,000?
$100,000.
What the?
It used to be $1,000 H-1B visa, where you take these people from other countries who have a technical skill you want, and you pay them less than the people in this country. They've been importing these people, paying $1,000. Trump raised it to $100,000.
So what happens is, if you bring someone in from a third world country who just happens to be a technical genius, they will work for, say, $30,000 or $40,000 a year. So if it costs $1,000 to do that as a corporation, you're doing very well. But if it costs $100,000 to do that, then you've got a salary comparable to what you would have to pay an American for that skill, that skill set. So we've graduated people in the tech industry from college with all kinds of computer knowledge and everything else, but
couldn't find jobs.
They're being undercut.
See, originally, I think that came out because they were looking for technical skills that we didn't have, period. Not to undercut the economic purpose, but just to make sure that we had the technical skills.
Yeah, some of it was, like you say, Bob, perhaps we didn't have enough people in the workforce who could do the work, and I understand that. However, the solution to that problem should be you train your own people to do the work. You don't bring people in from other countries, many of which, they don't care about this country, right? They want to maintain their own culture and all that stuff, which we see with the Islamists and some other groups. So, you know, to me, if you have a labor shortage, encourage those people. Set up training for them. Set up apprentice programs.
But
make it worth their while.
That's where you had the big corporations paying Congress, you know, making donations to PACs and whatever to keep that H-1B visa at $1,000, so that the Chamber of Commerce folks who claim to be for the country, but they're not.
Well, some of this can also fall into the education role, because if you remember when we were in school, there was a lot more trade school activities going on. And at some point, somebody that was a lot smarter than I am decided that everybody needed to go to college in order to get a job. And that affected trades negatively in the perception of if you were in a trade job, you weren't as good as if you had a college degree, which I do not agree with. So a lot of the kids just felt like they had to go to college just to have the prestige of saying I went to college, but then got a degree that they couldn't get a job with, where now if you look at what Common Core did with making education all the same everywhere, that hurt us because in areas, say Craven County, we have Bosch and we have International Paper and we have Moen. If our trade schools had more, and I know there is some, but more welding, more electronics, more computer technology systems analysts, you know, the kinds of things that our manufacturers use, that would be much more beneficial to our local economy and maybe keep some of our kids here instead of them leaving.
You know, even as you're talking about the again, the trades themselves, even when you send kids off to college now, why does a high school kid have to take remedial math, remedial English when they get to college?
Because they didn't learn it in high school.
Yeah,
that's... You know, this business about the students going to college, a lot of that came out of the Obama administration. That's where they really pushed that everybody should be going to college. And the truth of the matter is, we don't need all those college graduates, and they're not all college material. Let's Sure. face the facts. So, and then they came out with those federal student loan program, which made it easy for people to go to school. Trump has recently, his administration has announced that they're going to stop the Biden administration student forgiveness program.
You know,
going back that, you know, Biden said, well, it's not forgiveness. It's letting somebody else, the hardworking people, pay for a loan that some student took out that he doesn't want to repay or has not repaid yet. And Trump is terminating that.
Well, as I think to that point, that student loan program where there's no penalty if the student quits midstream. There used to be a penalty when we didn't have the government guaranteeing it because I still had the loan myself. You know, I just brought up a page about the unaffordability of some of the laws that were passed by some of the, I'm going to say, projects. Inflation Reduction Act caused the highest inflation in 50 years. Affordable Care Act requires massive tax subsidies to avoid astronomical premium costs. The Green New Deal soared gas and utility costs to the highest on record.
Okay. And, you know, like you say, Bob, all those things were mislabeled because that Inflation Reduction Act was basically a green energy
yes.
funding. That's what it was.
Quote, shovel ready.
Yeah. And what does Trump come to? He comes in and they're canceling all these wind and solar projects. They're taking away the tax subsidies. And look what happened to Ford. They announced the other day. They started building these EV trucks.
Yep.
Nobody wanted them, but the government, Biden administration, and now Ford has just stopped production of them because they can't sell them.
And there's another problem up in upstate New York where they demanded that they went to electric school buses, and electric school buses do not function well in cold weather, and you've got kids sitting on buses without heat for an hour in 30-degree weather. That's awful.
Yep.
It's crazy.
That's when the government controls. That's called socialism. Let's stop.
More damage than good.
Again, that's going back to Reagan's, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you.
Right? Yes.
That's the biggest threat.
I want to kick one more thing off with the trade schools. If we got more kids interested in some of the trade things, then when we bring manufacturing back, we're going to have the people capable of running the facilities.
Yes.
That's right.
That's
You're absolutely
true.
Right. That's exactly right, Kim.
That's right. And they become proficient in their profession.
Yeah.
And proud of it.
And not only proficient, but also they become the new entrepreneurs in developing new methods. Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Let's do just a little bit more of the year. Do we want to get through out until July or something like that? I mean, this year, I know we had that mid-air collision over the Potomac with some Army equipment.
That DEI hire.
The DEI hires or whatever else that may not have been fully qualified and were not flying in their airspace.
Yeah, that was so absurd. The idea that you have a major airport, one of the major airports in the country, and at the same time flying training flights around one of the most heavily utilized airports, whoever allowed that, you've got to have, well, between your ears. Why would you do that? That happened
8 days after Trump became president, so you know that was a leftover from the prior administration.
And the DEI hire, that's one of the things that Trump's done. He's come in, and of course, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, he's come in. They've eliminated all this DEI in the military.
With that air collision, just from the video that they showed ad nauseum on TV over and over and over again, what I can't reconcile is these two, the helicopter and the plane, they had to be visible with a naked eye long before collision.
They were wearing night goggle visions, which evidently have blinders on the side. So your vision is front.
That's the helicopter.
Yeah. It's not to the side.
But the planes also, they have onboard
radar. But they can radar. Move
they
that
got
quickly.
Radar on board.
I was going to say radar, onboard radar.
But how quickly can they move?
Well, how big is a radar? I mean, they're obviously miles because they're receiving signals from the airport.
Yeah.
There's just something that doesn't make sense to me.
Were they on the proper frequencies for that? For that area,
or is it a cover-up? And it was, an act of terrorism. Okay. There just seems to be so little details on some of these things that make me put my tinfoil hat on and get.
Now, in March, apparently, we got the astronauts back that had been stranded in outer space for a while. Sunita Williams and Barry Wilmore returned to Earth. They were 286 days.
And that was with Musk did that, right?
Musk did that,
yes.
Because Boeing couldn't.
Yeah. And then if we want to go into September, of course, we had Charlie Kirk's assassination.
Yeah.
And they had a, they had a turning point. His organization had their big annual event the other, it was just
in Arizona
week,
last
and they
weekend.
Had 30,000 people. They had a lot more people now than they did before. So hopefully, not only,
I was happy. I was
that
happy
the, that the organization is actually growing in spite of his being assassinated.
I was happy to see that our state representative, Steve Tyson, was out there for that event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, good for Steve.
It is
good for him.
It is interesting that it almost seems like by assassinating him, they increased his reach.
Yeah.
We have a friend who's an older person who had never heard of Charlie Kirk until he was shot. And then started reading about him and was thoroughly impressed. So,
yeah.
You know, he has, and it now, I mean, there were a lot of younger people there, but there were a lot of older people there too.
It still amazes me the rhetoric that you hear online and on the mainline news about Charlie Kirk being a racist, because I'm still looking for the evidence of that.
And well, you know what the definition of a racist is. Anyone who disagrees with a liberal.
Very good, Mary. I like that.
I like that, too.
Yeah, that's okay. Very true. The other thing that happened, we're talking about September, that was the first narco-terrorist boat that we took out. It was in September. And there was a lot of, you know, the left,
September 2nd.
Yeah, the left and the fake news are trying to make a big deal out of this because there was a... allegedly one of the people on the boat, a couple of them perhaps, after the boat was struck, there was a couple of them in the water, and then they went back to hit it again, which militarily, when you hit a boat and it doesn't go down, you go back and you hit it again. I mean, that's just military strategy.
How many of us have played battleships?
And Trump has continued to go after these. And I understand that they reported the other day like the amount of illegal drugs coming out of Venezuela has dropped like 94% in the last 4 months since Trump initiated this.
And so there's
the impact is happening.
There's another aspect of it too. They have started boarding some of these ships that are not properly registered internationally, and it seems as if there's a whole black market going on in oil involving Cuba and China. Because Cuba is sending medical people and medical supplies and things that Venezuela needs in exchange for Venezuelan oil. They have a very nice deal. And then a lot of the oil from Venezuela is going to China. So because these ships are not flying appropriate flags, they're considered pirates, and you're allowed to take them on the high seas.
Well, the Trump administration has tracked these down, and they know what they are, and they know that they are, in fact, smuggling this oil, like you said, to Iran or Cuba or these other countries. And China came out the other day and protested what we were doing. So you
of
know,
of course they did.
You know what we're doing is correct. And Trump said, that oil is now ours. And we've taken it over. We just didn't, you know, commandeer the ships. Now we own the oil.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. We're not just boarding. We're seizing. They are ours.
There's two down, and they're working on a third
one. Yeah.
You're done.
By
yeah.
the way, apparently the change in the law to allow us to overtake these ships, and especially the drug ones, was done in 1986 by,
Schumer.
By Schumer and Biden both, I think.
Well, one of the latest complaints from the lefties on these the shooting of the drug boats was, well, they're not carrying fentanyl. They have cocaine. I'm thinking, okay, so now we're raiding
it's a
illegal drugs.
And I want to know how they had that level of detail about what the transport was.
It's true.
I mean, come on.
Does not
compute.
Sounds a little shaky to me.
But the point of all this is that Trump is making a statement to the rest of the world that the United States is back, and we're back in a strong way. We're going to defend ourselves. We're not going to allow hundreds of thousands of our citizens to be killed by people bringing in drugs and getting rich from it. And the other day, just a couple of days ago, he announced, in fact, it might have been yesterday, these new battleships. Did you hear that?
Two new battleships,
he's got
yes.
Two new battleships that they've already, they have authorized the beginning of, and they're going to, the plan is to make more of these. And these are supposed to be like super, super powerful, you know, you think about battleships as something that's obsolete, went out with World War II. But apparently these are going to be so fully armed that they will be a balancing effect against China. China's got a bigger navy than we have right now.
Yeah.
And we need something to counterbalance it. And Trump is stepping up. I mean, every problem that we identify, you're talking about going past over the past year, a lot of the problems that we've identified and were in existence, he's taken action on all of them.
But
I think very few that he's not doing something, I mean, about it, right?
Yeah, when I hear battleship, I think something that's nimble and maneuverable. But every time they talk battleship, they're showing an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Well,
a
battleship was that size, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is going to be...
But, if you got a battleship that carries... I'll carry a couple of hundred cruise missiles, not just 50 cruise missiles, but a couple of hundred of them. And I can send the missiles in there rather than sending our troops in, because if you'll notice that Trump is not putting our troops in harm's way.
Also, it's going to be built on American soil.
Yeah. To be built.
American jobs.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Another thing, last September was the anniversary of the attack in Israel. And in October, that was when the ceasefire went into effect. And I believe all but one of the hostages, dead or alive, have been returned. I think there's still one hostage that has not been returned. But my reaction to what happened on September 7th, which was absolutely horrible.
October 7th.
It originally happened on September 7th.
October 7th.
I have a vote on that. I have a pretty part of
Well, my comment on the original attack is that that gave us proof that there cannot be a Palestinian state, because the cruelty of that attack was inhumane.
You know, one of the things that that's happening at today, I think recently, is that there is a legislator in Israel that is proposing an end to the swap of prisoners, you know, prisoner and hostage swap. There, because we've been swapping one hostage for 100 or 1,000 prisoners or whatever else. There's legislation now to prevent that. So we'll bring it back either to one-to-one or
something. That's needed, because I could never understand why Israel was releasing so thousands of the terrorists that they had captured for a few of their own people. I mean, I like to get my own people back, too, but you can't do that.
Yeah.
It was October 7th.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
But, again, it showed... I mean, Gaza was a Palestinian state. The Israelis left in the early 2000s, and they left it totally to the Gazans to rule.
And it was a good fertile ground with agriculture.
It was a greenhouse. It was filled with greenhouses that supplied food. And what happened was they destroyed the greenhouses and took the pipes and used them to make rockets. So,
well, that's what you're dealing with.
And I don't want to give those people a country.
And they're refusing to disarm, is my understanding.
Yes, that is correct.
Isn't that correct? They're trying to get out of. They agreed that they would disarm, and now they're trying to back out of it. And
yeah,
I think Israel wants to go in and just wipe them out.
I think that's going to be.
I wish he would do it.
That kind of may be the answer eventually.
There are today pictures of them destroying some of those tunnels in the Gaza area now.
Good.
So, folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for staying with us.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you again for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Mary, you're going to take us off to the insurance land, huh?
Yes. The North Carolina Insurance Commissioner, Mike Causey, has scheduled a hearing for May 4th to consider a proposed 68.3% average increase in dwelling insurance rates, which is the increase requested by the North Carolina Rates Bureau. First of all, I want to explain that dwelling insurance applies to non-owner-occupied properties with no more than four units, including rental homes and investment properties not occupied full-time by the owner. And it points out the last dwelling rate request was filed in 2023, and they sought an increase of 50%. And the proposal was settled, resulting in an average 8% increase. So hopefully they'll do that again, because I think 68.3% is absolutely outrageous.
And something that needs to be taken into consideration is a lot of people look at the dwelling and say, well, this is the rental units. Well, yes, but those rental units have a landlord.
Yes.
And the landlord is the one that's going to have the brunt of that expense. So at that point, the landlord is going to have to raise rent, but the focus in our economy has been on affordability and sustainability, and you can't do that if you keep having these great increases.
Now, in the property itself, in the building itself, and you have insurance on the building. We're talking about on the building itself. So you had a $200,000 building that now, based on current building or whatever else, it's now worth $400,000. Do you have to double your insurance to cover? Yes, you do.
And
so you're already up in what you're paying for.
And it's only half the story as well. The other half of the story is wind and hail. You know, you've got two types of insurance on every dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only half of the issue.
The other part of this, too, is it's easy to dismiss this and say, well, I don't have rental property, so it doesn't matter. However, we live in a military area. And a lot of times in military areas, a family will buy a house when they're stationed somewhere. And when they get stationed somewhere else, they will hold on to that house and rent it out to another military couple so that they're building equity in something. So you're not talking about the elite rich when you're talking about this. You're talking about average working people. And that you're hurting with this kind of a rate increase. My suggestion is that we all go up to Raleigh on May 4th and go to that hearing and say that 68% is absolutely outrageous. And, you know, if you want to, I don't know how anybody else feels, but if they came and said, well, we want a 10% increase, well, 10% might be in line with inflation.
I think I want to schedule a root canal for that day.
Or a colonoscopy.
Mary, does it say anything in that information you're reading about the justification for this?
Well, that's what the hearing is about.
But it doesn't say anything about what's driving it. Is the increased construction cost?
This is an article from Channel 12 News.
Well, what happens is the insurance companies approach the insurance commissioner and say, this is what we need.
Well, I understand that. What I'm saying is that I wonder if the amount of damage or incidents of damage to the building, and we're talking about building damage now, right?
Yes.
Okay, maybe that's gone up substantially for renters. I don't know. Maybe that's what's happening.
This is interesting because it applies to rental property. And I don't know this for a fact, but I would suspect that the majority of damage that we had from Hurricane Helene was owner property, not rental property. So why are they...
But renters... I've had renters, and renters can be pretty destructive to your property.
Yes.
Your property.
Yes.
And pretty careless. Not all of them. Some of them are great. They take care of it better than I think. But there is an issue, and I just wonder whether the renters are a higher risk to the building than if the owner was living. It must be, right?
Well, the damage that they do is not covered by insurance at all, right? It's an event. It's a natural thing. It's a fire. I mean, you don't have renters insurance on a building to where if the renter tears something up, pulls the door off. So this is all about fire, wind. Actually, this insurance is about fire. Everything else goes on the wind and hail policy.
From the opposite end of the spectrum, how much money is spent on advertising on TVs? How many times do we see, and I'm going to pick on Geico, and I'm going to pick on, there's a couple of other insurance companies, ad nauseum you see their ads.
Insurance ads, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if they do raise, whatever amount they raise it, what's going to happen? The landlords are going to increase the rent. Because you have to have you have to meet your bills and your expenses. So when that happens, you raise your rent, and the rents continue to go up.
Okay.
And then that's where you get into the affordability issue.
Yeah. Alan, sneak in your article on the homeschooling.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'll try to be brief. Just a little background with. There are a lot of. Parents in North Carolina that choose to homeschool their kids for a variety of reasons, not the least of which they don't have confidence in the public schools. The public schools in North Carolina are, I think they rate rank like 48th or 49th with the spending, and the academic rating is very low also, okay? So the public schools generally are not doing very well. So the homeschoolers are increasing. They've been increasing for the past 10, 15 years. They get no financial support from the state. So if you are a parent and you have two children and those children were going to the local school, it was costing that local school district. Right now, the average cost is $12,000 per student. Okay? For a public school student. So you're a parent of two kids. It's costing the county and the state $12,000 a year. You homeschool them, theoretically, you're saving them $24,000, $12,000 each. You, as the parent, get nothing. Now, if you send them to private school, then you're eligible to receive money to pay those kids. So you have a discrimination. If you send your child to a private school, you get reimbursed. Not completely, but you get substantial reimbursement. You homeschool them, you get zippo, zero, nothing. And I think that's totally unfair. And I think that, it's something that I have been championing for several years, and I hear this argument from legislators well, you know, the homeschooling parents, they don't want to have this money because they're afraid the government's going to control how they teach their kids and all that stuff. So it's a simple solution to that. You make it voluntary. So if you're a parent and you're homeschooling your child and you don't want any, and they start putting strings on it, which they don't right now, but if they started doing it, you opt out. You're no worse off than you are now.
I agree with the concept of there should be some money back to the homeschool parent. However, you can't quite look at it as you're saving the state X dollars because the schools get their money based on average daily attendance. So if your kid isn't going to the school, it's not money in the school's pocket anyway.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is that that's the same logic you use with private schools. If a child goes to a private school, that makes one less student they have to put into public school. It's the same thing with homeschooling. All I'm saying is the concept that there's fewer students in the public schools that need fewer buildings, fewer teachers, fewer books, and whatever else they give these kids, you know, computers.
And the government does offer a, quote, scholarship to the private school, not to the homeschool.
Just for the record, North Carolina is somewhere between 30th and 40th in its ranking for its schools.
School's academic performance.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it gets really complicated because you got buildings, and you know, it's always challenging to remove schools from a system, close schools and all that, just from a community perspective. But, you know, you pull one person out, you know, nothing has to happen. But if you start moving a lot of people around, there's fixed cost.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. At some point, yeah, you can take a school out of the system, but there's fixed costs. It's not as responsive. Cost control isn't as responsive as membership.
Yeah, as long as you own that school, you're still going to have to keep it heated to some degree.
So there's challenges on both sides. But I agree with making it, making some means for those that are willing to school their kids. I support Alan's ideas.
And I did too. It's just the where the money comes from and how is it accounted for. But I think it should be like a child care tax credit, like they do for that. There should be a homeschool credit.
Tax credit.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
That's what I...
Yeah, but they should be the same for private and homeschool.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I don't care if it's a tax credit or if it's money directly given to them. It should be for both, in my opinion.
And I think there should be a tax credit for parents who are sending their kids to either trade school or college. You're not going to credit the whole thing, but let's give them a break because college is outrageous.
Right. Because if you look at our property taxes, that's where the majority of our school funding comes from.
Yes.
And these parents that are homeschooling their children are paying that. So they're really double paying. They're paying for the public school and for their own private school.
Very good point.
I'll just interject. I'm not sure it has to be the same because when kids are going to a facility, whether it's a private facility or a public facility, you got facility cost.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing it at home, there's no facility cost. I'm just saying, I don't know where that lands, but I don't think it's an equal view.
Well, when you're doing it home, a lot of times you have the second parent who has given up working in order to homeschool the kids. So that's a cost.
It's almost always the
case. Folks, we got about a minute and a half. What do we want to wrap the year up with?
I want to just end on kind of a feel-good story, I guess you'd call it. We all remember all the ruckus about the lawfare against President Trump and all the controversy about whether or not you could arrest a sitting president. Well, I want to point out that in American history, at one time, we did arrest a sitting president. And most of us weren't around then. The president was U.S. Grant. And he got stopped for speeding in his carriage in Washington, D.C. one night. And the policeman gave him a warning. And the next night, he got stopped for speeding again by the same policeman. And the policeman said to him, "I'm very sorry, Mr. President, to have to do it, for you are the chief of the nation, and I am nothing but a policeman. But duty is duty, and I will have to place you under arrest." So we do have a historical precedent for arresting a president in office. Now, I don't think Trump has done anything to deserve arrest, but I'm just pointing that out.
All right. So the last two things that I want to bring in, folks, let's watch for the new ballroom, the East End ballroom at the White House. And sorry, the penny is gone, folks. Folks, we've got to end this year. Just have a happy new year, and we hope that you have a happy and prosperous new year.